No. So everybody need a syllabus. This will be available on our website as well. We'll get that uploaded this week. We are recording, but the plan right now, just because I want everybody to be able to be open and honest and ask whatever kind of questions you want to ask, and you might not want your question on the internet. I might not want my answer on the internet. So toward the end of the class every week, we'll do a little brief time of Q&A. And you might notice in the schedule we've built in a conclusion in Q&A week. And some of that will be, if something comes up a lot in the class, we may address it that week. Or if y'all just want to do Q&A the whole night, we can do that. But we'll kind of play that by ear and just see how the questions are going. But we'll do off-the-record Q&A at the end of every class each week. That way, just that way, if y'all have questions you want to ask, we'll answer them, you know? I mean, I say this all the time. I cut the cord to my blusher a long time ago. So I want to talk to everybody about what we feel like we need to talk about, you know? And so I did make a joke earlier. It was like, you know, I said, we thought about bringing the hot tub in up here, you know, and hanging out. But like the old Will Ferrell skit. But, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to turn this into the Welshly Arms every week. But I am saying if you have questions, I'm not talking about just, you know, intimacy stuff. But anything y'all want to talk about, you may have questions to work through, and we'd be glad to do that. So you can see the schedule. 1 week we'll be taking off for fall break in October 8th. So just bear that in mind. And then we're reading a book that I really like. It's called Married for God by Christopher Ashe. I do a lot of premarital counseling and historically have never actually given couples a book. I just print a bunch of stuff out or give them sermons and stuff like that. But I've actually started giving this book to couples when they get married. So I find it to be a really good book on marriage. It's like every book we read that's not the Bible, though, right? You don't have to agree with every word of it. There might be some things that you don't like. That's okay. I'm a big fan of just spitting out the gristle, you know, if there's something we don't like. So I don't want anyone to ever feel like we'll have a chance each week when we come in. I'll say, does anybody have any questions or thoughts from the reading? If you do, and it's like, I don't like this point, this is a class, right? So if you can say, I don't like this point, I might say, I don't like it either. And then Whitney would say, well, I loved it. That's how we work. And
I don't like it, and Matt wants it.
Yeah. We that's kind of how we roll. And we can have a discussion about it, right? So I think sometimes people will be afraid I'm going to be mad or something. They don't like something from the book or whatever else. That's kind of what we're trying to do, right? Some of you have taken my classes before and you know. I mean, we do this with theology and all kinds of stuff, so especially so with marriage. This is another thing, like Whitney and I are wired a little differently. We have a compromised reading schedule, right? So the reading schedule is such that we're as close as we can get within reason to be in a place where you can read the whole book throughout the course of the semester, which there's a lot of off weeks in the middle. So if you're one of these people that can't come back and pick a book back up or just want to plow on through it, that's fine. It's no big deal. But Whitney really likes for whatever we're discussing to be exactly what we read that week, and I'm a little more chill about that. And so, by the way, Whitney is very type A, or is it Enneagram? Type 1 Enneagram. Does anybody do that thing? I'm something on there, but Whitney's a 1.
Not a 1.
And for those of you that do that stuff. So I'm a little more chill, you know, just floating through life, baby. And anyways, so...
It's gonna go great.
Move
it along. We've talked about
syllabus
before.
Yeah, well, all right, Liz.
10 minutes.
What class are you taking this semester, Liz? All right. But you'll be able to read and enjoy the reading, I hope. And it's pretty close to what we'll be discussing. So, but again, if you know, take notes, underline stuff, and come talk about the reading later. Okay. Are we ready for our deck?
Right. We're ready.
Whitney's got like a corporate job, so she calls these slide decks.
No, don't call them decks, not slide decks.
I call them PowerPoint.
How
points.
So to set this up, so that you don't think we're showing you like a very serious deck here, Matt and I communicate a lot in our DMs, so on Instagram. One of our main forms of communication is through memes, and so every meme that you're about to see is an actual meme that has been shared between our two Instagram accounts. So we thought that this would give y'all a little bit. A little chuckle to start the class.
Okay.
I can't really see these. Sorry. So it's fine. You can read them.
This is the lady in the headband one.
So this says, my husband telling me something important, but all I can focus on is that long eyebrow hair that needs to be tweezed. That's me.
And I want to just say that this scenario was played out this very day. As we were getting ready about this class and about the
Your
look,
belt.
Like my belt was askew. All right. Next.
Yeah.
Got another one coming
this
up.
Yours.
This is mine. If the husband is the head of the family, then what is the wife? The wife is the neck of the family, which can turn the head anywhere. All right. Let's get one.
So slow. Husband, I wash the dishes. Me, okay? Husband? This is Matt anytime he does anything at the house. Anytime.
Which is often.
He said this one time about giving our kids a bath when they were little. One time.
I may not always give him butterflies, but I give him high blood pressure, which is practically the same thing.
You can probably, I don't know if you can tell, but she's carrying a ladder in the background. So.
Which, I'll tell you something, when Whitney likes to pick up ladders most is 13 seconds after I've dozed off in my chair. all right.
Marriage is spending 30 minutes trying to find a show you can both agree to watch, and 5 minutes into the show, you look over and your spouse sounds like this. This is like both of us, though. We both fall asleep.
Me when my wife calls my name after I sit down. Which I feel like is true.
You do look just like
For
that.
Me, that's also the face I make when the cabinet starts slamming. You know, stuff's getting put up, man.
Our cabinets are very, they slam.
I say, I noticed some aggressive cleaning happening in there. Is there something I need to do?
They slam. It's not my fault. It's the house's fault. Husband, just tell me what needs to be done around the house. Me. Take your pick. Anything.
That's some
pick
of our,
anything.
That's some of
pick
our early
anything.
Fights. I would be like, just, I need a list. And she's like.
Look around.
This is a list. Yeah. This is a good one. Husband, are you still mad? Me, no. Husband, I love you. Me, good for you. Okay. I think this is that's a good one to me right there. I mean, I'm trying not to laugh too loud at that one if you catch my drift. All right. Oh, when you argue with your husband that you can't go to sleep without physical touch, and there's just like one toe touching.
This is me. Sorry I snapped at you. My clothes felt weird, and the temperature was too loud, and my hair was touching me. I get overstimulated a lot. Overstimulated.
The way I look at my husband because he's watching videos on his phone at max volume, which is especially the case at like in the morning. In every marriage, there is one person who monitors the finances and another person who's having a great time. We alternate, like we go back.
Yeah,
and
we
forth.
Go back and forth.
Right.
My husband, it's not there. I don't see it. Me after I find it. Matt's never found one thing.
Ever.
Ever.
Drive around lost and confused about when to break because my wife isn't in the car. Let me tell you, the key is to just absolutely get lost in that phone. You just dial in.
That is not
right.
Okay.
picked her husband up from the airport, kissed him, and immediately went to the passenger seat, and that's all I want in life. Laughing my butt off.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Meant to correct
that. Sorry.
That's not being your video.
After years of marriage, you're still regularly then you're probably doing marriage right. Yeah. So I feel like it's best when your kids are old enough to know what's going on. That's they're like, Dad, what are you doing? Marry the one who wants to leave the party early with you. That's Matt and Witt right there.
Ready
we'll
to
roll
home.
Out, baby.
Ready to go home.
All right.
I don't think your video is gonna work. I don't know.
I've seen it.
Well, you already passed it.
I don't think so. It was last.
I don't think so.
I'm getting divorced.
Your phone's about it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Which one?
Shot there.
This is it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Hold on.
You sound Texas.
No. I will not give up. All right, I don't know if y'all have ever seen this or not, but this is a great video that we really like. That I love.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It's not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail.
See,
okay.
I loved watching all the men in here look around while they were laughing to see how hard they were allowed to laugh. That was pretty good, including me. All right. Let me look at my notes. Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the questions I've always felt like I've asked in college or seminary or whatever else is going to classes like, why should I listen to you? I think that's important to think about. So I don't know that I've got a good answer to that question necessarily. I mean, I've been married 17 years, and we'll talk a little bit more about our story in a minute. 17 years this month, so in a couple weeks. So I don't have a perfect marriage by any means, but I do think we have a healthy marriage. And maybe more importantly than anything, we have a healthier marriage than we did 10 years ago, which is encouraging. Worked through a lot, been through a lot. I was on staff at a church. I've been serving a church staff all 17 of those years, but one. So 16 out of 17 years, we've been sort of in the fishbowl, pressure cooker ministry life. Some of those years was a small country church right outside Louisville, Kentucky, called Sunnyside Baptist Church. Wonderful people. One time, I was standing in the back of the, Whitney and I were standing in the back of the church, and some of my sweet little ladies were complaining. And I was kind of like tuning in a little bit. And finally, I understood what I heard what they were complaining about. The lady that cuts all their hair had gone from $6 to $8 for a haircut. And they were real mad that she'd gone up. And I looked at Whitney and I said, if you ever breathe a word about what you pay for a haircut, I will lose my job at this church. I just need you to understand that that's what will happen. And so we've been in very different contexts at different times, right? And so I think that another thing I think is important to know about us is that we've been married 17 years and we got married relatively young, I think. So I was 22, Whitney was 21 when we got married. So we went through our 20s together, kind of grew up together in that sense in a lot of ways, and real grateful for those years. And so we knew each other growing up to some degree, especially in middle school and high school, we knew each other a lot better. When I my family moved to First Baptist Boaz is when we really got to know each other better. But then never were like close best friends or anything like that. We went to a different school and then went to a different church while we were in high school. So we just bumped back into each other. In college, I was a senior. Whitney was a junior and a half, basically. And again, type A, you know, she's way ahead of schedule, so she wound up graduating a year early. So we bumped into each other. I was at a coffee shop, she just happened in Boaz, which is a miracle number one. So she came through the drive-thru, and then this other guy we knew, like called her and was like, "Are you not gonna come and say hey?" She came and said hey, and we talked for like 30 minutes, and then this is another thing I like to tell my kids or whatever, because Watsy one day was like, "Hey, Dad." I was like, "What's up?" And she was like, how did you get Mom? And I was like, not sure I love that tone, but I'll do my best here, you know? And I was like, well, frankly, I'm the king of Riz. And she was like, never say that again. never say those words again. And, but, you know, it was kind of giving them a hard time. So, anyway, I, like, texted Whitney and was like, hey, it was fun hanging out tonight. We should do it on purpose sometime. You know, it was a pretty good line, I still feel like. Anyway, we started dating. We just said we were going to talk about our story a little bit.
I love it. I think one of the things that, I don't think it's necessarily, like, right or wrong. Like, I think if Watsy were to come to us and she was 21 and she's like, hey, I'm going to get married, we'd be like, no, you're not. Absolutely no way. But I think it was...
Depends on what the guy's like. You know what I'm saying?
But I think it was right for us. I mean, obviously, like, I think it was the Lord's plan for us. But I think we went through unique hardships because we were so young. Right after we got married, obviously, like, I graduated, Matt had graduated, and we moved to Mobile. And so we didn't have family where we lived, and so that was different. But in some ways, like, one of the best things, I think, for our marriage when we first started was that we just kind of had each other. And so I think we learned a lot as kind of we grew up and we were young and just had each other, and so, but I think the Lord kind of used those years. There were,
we were like radically broke, which I feel like was good for us.
Very broke. We used to go to the library and like rent DVDs to watch because we didn't have cable, which was great. But anyway, so I think the Lord, like, and one thing that I was going to talk about tonight that I kind of pivoted from a little bit was kind of like, the baggage that we bring into marriage, kind of like, not even intentionally, but just so y'all know, Matt and I have like a similar past, but we also have a very different past. My parents are divorced. My parents got divorced when I was 2 months old. And my mom was remarried for a short period of time and to a man who was not a believer. And so a lot of my very critical childhood years were really hard and like really formative on me in ways that I didn't understand. And I brought a lot of that baggage into our marriage. And the baggage that I brought into our marriage also affected Matt in negative ways, because in some ways he was trying to fix a lot of that brokenness, which is not his job, right?
That's a recipe for disaster.
That's a recipe of disaster for anybody to have a savior complex, to think that they can come in and fix. And I was a Christian and have been since I was a little girl, but for somebody to think that they can fix things like that is hard. It's, like Matt says, a recipe for disaster. So we dealt with a lot of that.
By the way, it's a lesson I'm still learning in every aspect of my life. Anybody that's in what I do, that does what I do, has a little bit of a Superman Christ complex, you know, because you want to help people, you want to see good things happen. And then it's real bad when you're trying to be something for your spouse that only the Lord can be. And Whitney didn't have unrealistic expectations. I did. I mean, that was on me, not on her. But there were like little things I feel like little things that, like, Whitney's stepdad raised his voice a lot. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for me to say?
Yeah, of course.
Whitney's stepdad raised his voice a lot, and it was really hard for them. And my parents only speak with their voices raised. It's the only...
like, to this day.
You know, to this moment.
To this very moment. That's why we don't go over.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, if my dad's not yelling at me, I'm like, hey, is everything okay? Do you still love me? And I kind of came into things thinking, like, you know, you just hash it out, baby. Like, let's get this, let's go, let's figure this out. And that was really hurtful for Whitney. And I don't know if y'all noticed that I am also loud. I'm a very loud person. And so... This is a bad excuse, and I think I've gotten better about this. But she'd be like, "You're yelling again." And I'd be like, "Baby, I'm half like, I'm just being passionate here, and I'm half yelling all the time anyway. It just doesn't take anything to get there, you know. And I'm hollering right now." And so that was something that I brought into our marriage. I feel like is that you can kind of half lose your temper, and that just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, and it did matter to her. I mean, the book's going to talk about baggage some and all kinds of different kinds. But I will say this, that I might be cutting my own legs out from under me a little bit. But one thing I like to remind people, especially in premarital counseling, is whatever we're bringing into a marriage, we tend to assign morality to that.
That's right.
Like however we were raised. In fact, think about you have said that. Some of you might have said that today. I just wasn't raised that way. And that... in itself, it sounds moral, doesn't it? Like, it sounds like something we'd say, like, it's immoral, like, this is immoral or that's immoral. It's date night in Roku City, baby. So long story short, you can tend to think that, and when one thing Whitney and I think have learned the hard way, not the hard way, but we've learned, and I try to impress on couples before they get married, is that more than likely, the way mom and dad raised you, huge chunk of that is morally neutral. Like when I was a kid, I would beg to go to the fair, you know, and the Marshall County Fair. And I got to go once when I was little, and there's this great spinning ride called like Starship 2000 or something like that. There's a dude with a mullet on there, and he stood out straight on it because it was like zero G. So he like did the Superman pose like without any, he's like a carny worker. And I was like chasing that high the rest of my life. So I always wanted to go to the fair. And my dad was like, I was like, hey, can we go to the fair? And dad said, we're not going to the fair. We're Alexanders, you know? And I still don't really know what that means. But
but we say that a lot.
Yeah, we're out. But I guess I mean to say, I think it's immoral to go to the fair. Of course not. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think my dad thinks that either. He just didn't want to go to the fair, right? So he just acted like that's somewhere we don't go. Mm-hmm. Like
smart.
You got something against funnel cakes or something. And so, long story short, that's an example, I think, of how we can assign morality to sort of the way we were raised. And I really do think, when it comes to thinking about like bringing baggage into a marriage, a ton of unneeded conflict arises from just how I'm used to doing things. You know what I mean? And how I'm accustomed to doing things. Things that don't actually really matter. And we probably think of some more examples. But I think
toilet
Yeah, like which direction you put the toilet paper roll or what?
That does matter.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's
deeper,
a right way to do that. Yeah.
But like I don't want to say that raising your voice is amoral. I don't think it's right. You know what I mean? I don't think it's wise or good to get angry quickly and express your anger that way. But for me, it was more normal, right? It was a normal thing. I'm used to. Like I said, if you just call my dad and tell him how much the drive-thru cost today, he'll be like, "My goodness!" I mean, you know, we just yell. That's just what we do. And are you kidding me? And so. I took that in our marriage, and then so we both kind of had an idea of things that just were askew a little bit, I think. So yeah, we got married in Mobile, and I was serving at Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile at that time as college minister. And so Whitney moved down, and Whitney was a K-4 teacher our first year of marriage. And then after about a year in Mobile, we packed up our bags and moved to seminary in Louisville, which was probably. Well, it was a unique, every season of our life's been uniquely challenging for us. I think seminary had some unique challenges. We had a house in Mobile we bought. We had to sell it, planning to live on that money, and it was a lot less money than we thought. So we had to sell our house. Yeah, had to get out of our house. And so, yeah, it was 2009. We just didn't have much money. We got to Louisville, and so thought we were going to have enough money for the house to kind of live on for a little bit till we could find decent jobs. And sorry about that. Thing hadn't been on ring in a long time. I don't know how that happened. We had to find jobs. It was really a challenge to find jobs. And then I was starting school. We had to pay for school. And then Whitney took some classes as well. So, I mean, everybody's got stories like that, I think, where they went through challenging times and like that. And then seminary is just weird in general, Tom. And so we, you know, we worked through seminary, and then she finally got a job at the school, and then I started pastoring a church because during that time, I would look at job listings. I was sort of tired of working. I worked at Brooks Brothers in Louisville, Kentucky, and loved it. I mean, I really loved it, and loved it because I got paid commission. I enjoyed just like hanging out and with dudes and talking and selling stuff. I loved it. And so I like to eat what I kill, you know what I mean? I enjoy it. I'm bred for that. And so, literally. And so, loved it. But I was like, I didn't move to Kentucky to sell suits. I moved to Kentucky to pastor a church, you know, to serve the Lord's church. And so I got real serious about trying to find a job in ministry. And everybody wanted an MDiv, which is the master's degree I was working on, a Master of Divinity degree, and 5 years of experience. And I was like, how am I supposed to get but? Well, what am I supposed to do for 5 years after I graduate? You know, like, what am I going to do? So I applied to over 100 churches within, like, a 100-mile radius of Louisville to try to get a job. And, like, I got two interviews. One was a church in Falls of Rough, Kentucky. You had to cross back over into Central Time to get there. So driving there back and forth from there from Louisville was crazy. So Whitney and I went, and I preached there. And it was like an hour and a half drive back across time zones. It was crazy. So I had a pretty good feeling they were going to give me the job, mainly because I had a pulse. And we were driving back to Louisville that night, and I was like, I thought this went great. And she, like, I'm ready. Like, I'm about to preach. You know, he's like, we're not doing. And I was like, and I think I probably got my back up. I don't remember it completely, but I was probably like, what do you want me to do? Just not preach the gospel? I'm just like trying to map out how to make a career of this, you know? Like, I don't get it. It was really hard. Long story short, that didn't work out. And then, because we backed out. And then wound up at Sunnyside Baptist Church. It was about 45 minutes outside Louisville. They were in the process of building a parsonage, rebuilding a parsonage, and so we were going to have, I was really going to take a pay cut from what I had been making at Brooks Brothers, long story short, we took that position, and it was a really joyful few years, and another uniquely trying time in our marriage, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because that was the year, the 2 years there were maybe the year before, maybe the 6 months before we moved there, and the year of that was when we were really hoping to have a child and just couldn't seem to get pregnant. So that was a hard year and a half for us. And then and we had a baby in Kentucky, and then long story short, we wound up moving to Gadsden. So I know at that time Sunnyside was a challenge because once we had Watsy, we came home and stayed with her for lots of reasons. One, we wanted her to be able to do that anyway. We wanted her to be able to have a long season at home with the kids. And so I was like, well, we can't afford to do this, but I feel like if I wait till we can afford to do this, we'll just never do it. You know what I mean? And on top of that, we really couldn't afford for her to keep her job either, because childcare would have eaten up a lot of that. Anyway, it was just what a ton of people go through. A ton of people have been through and think through all the time. So that season was uniquely difficult because I was wrestling with feeling bad about leaving a church because I needed a job. You know, I don't like that. Still don't like the idea of leaving a church for more money. I don't think it's a sin. I don't think it's wrong for preachers to do it, by the way. I just don't feel comfortable doing that exactly. So I guess I did it. Anyway, sitting here, ain't I? You know what I'm saying? No, I was wrestling with just feeling a sense of, like, the Lord giving us a sense of freedom to leave, you know, and that kind of thing. So anyway, long story short, I'm going to get an email from First Baptist Gadsden when we moved here. And I would just say I feel like our early years here were probably the hardest. It was my hardest time in our marriage.
Yeah.
And
I don't think we realized it as we were going through it.
No.
Either.
But this is
looking back on it, we're like, man, oh, man.
I totally checked out. I wouldn't say totally, but I checked out more than I should have.
That's hard.
I was emotionally in a tough. A lot of y'all are new, don't know. A few OGs in the house, but our early years here were really challenging. Our first 2 or 3 years here were really challenging. The church had been in decline for a long time, and I guess I still have tried to figure out the rationale for some of the vitriol that we encountered, but I guess some people liked that it was dying. I don't know. But we were, and I don't mean that to be ugly, or I just really, that's all I can figure out. But I will also say I was 26 years old when we moved here. It's my first full-time pastorate. Brant, every year when I'll post this like picture of me on my first day, you know, it looks like baby Huey with a briefcase. And, you know, like little Lord Fauntleroy when he comes to church or whatever. And I've got like a group text pastor friends or whatever, and I sent that picture one time, and I was like, imagine being a World War II veteran and this guy shows up to be your pastor. So there is like a profound sense in which I totally get some of it, you know. Long story short, we're not just talking. I'm trying to set up kind of part of how we think about marriage a little bit. That was a really hard season. I was really numb and stressed and worried and pumped, like excited and loving the work too, simultaneously, you know? And maybe a bit of a workaholic and just focused all the time. But I mean, I would literally get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, you're the last pastor at First Baptist Church, you know? And so just thought about that a lot, spent a lot of time just focused on that, focused on the church, and then also taking on a lot of heat and vitriol from some folks. 95% of the church was wonderful, you know, to us. Long story short, that became a challenging season. And then I think Whitney was going through being a young mother in a new place with very few people in our age and stage of life around us. Like some people close to our age, but didn't have children, or, you know what I mean? Just those kinds of different things, and so kind of just feeling alone with these kids at home. Ford was born a year after we came here, and also I think for me, something I selfishly didn't account for and didn't understand, I'm just going to say it and you can correct or edit, is just the impact that childbearing has on a woman emotionally, spiritually, physically.
it just feels like real different. And I'm like, yeah, it's because it is, dog. you know what I'm saying? Like, you got some kids now. Like, it's changed. Like, a lot has changed here. And we go through seasons of life, you know. And I think we were both in some of our hardest seasons.
Yeah. We're also not like baby people.
We didn't know that at the time.
We do now.
We like people. We like telling kids
like
to do stuff
to
and then they just go do that thing.
And,
like
we like a personality.
Whitney will be like, "Hey, is it bath time?" And like 10 years ago, it's the scariest sentence in the English language. What are we gonna do with all these kids? And then you might give them a bath, and they just don't go to sleep. Your day's not over. You know what I mean? Like it just keeps going. This day, who knows when this day's gonna end? This day, you know what this day could do? This day could last till tomorrow. William gets it, you know. And I mean, you know, this day could go who knows how long. And so now we say, "Hey, I think it's bath time." And I'm like, "Hey, go get in the bath." They're like, "Who wants to go first?" I'm like, "I don't care, but go," you know, and then they go. And so we were not.
It was a time of like
there are
very,
things we missed.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, but I think it was like a time of like very on your part and in mine, and I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, like very inward focused. And maybe not even on purpose, but just very much like, okay, Matt's home, that means I get a break.
Yeah.
And Matt comes home and Matt's like, "Okay, I'm home, that means I get a break." You know?
Finally I can stare at the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And that's a dangerous place to, and not just that, I mean, like, people need breaks, like 100%. And moms need breaks. And it is, unless you know what it's like to have, like, a human hanging off of you all day long, like, you don't understand what need a break means. But, like, I also work all day now. And, like, when my kids come up to me, I'm just like, "I need you not to talk to me right now." You know, so I get the other side, too. So I just think.
Which I love that they're getting a dose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm loving that.
No, I think
y'all see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think it can be really, it can be a dangerous place when you're constantly in a place of like turning the focus back to yourself constantly. And it also doesn't work if only one person is trying to not be like that. You know, it has to be two people working together.
Man, it's so easy. Let me just put it like this. I think the biggest temptation, the easiest temptation to give into in marriage every day is approaching marriage for what it gives to you. Another one of our interns here got married a few years ago, and great guy, pastor now, and been real successful, in my opinion. And hold on, let me find the verse I'm looking for. Yeah. And he said, "Hey, so I'm like down there." He's like, "You got any last minute advice?" And I'm sort of notorious for pre-marriage advice that I'm not going to give right now. But I'd already given him all that. And things that I had received from my father, and then I'm passing down the next one. And, but he said, any verses or anything for me? I was like, "Yeah, I got one for you." I was like, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he's in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself." And, you know, kind of went on. But I quoted that verse to him and said, he said, "Oh, man, in this too?" And I was like, "In this too, man." It's just the whole deal in marriage, in life, right, is to try to not be selfish. And I got a little bit I do where I always say, you know, I used to really think I was becoming a less selfish person, and then I got married. And then I was like, man, marriage, God is using marriage in my life, and I'm becoming so much less selfish. And then we had our first child. And then I thought I was doing better, and then we had two kids. And then Jim came along, and I was like, I'm just selfish, right? And we're bent toward looking at everything and thinking, what am I getting from this? We're bent toward ROI. I've seen so many marriages in bad places, including my own, right? And that's what we're talking about, is that season of life for us. Put in a bad spot because we're so focused on what we're getting from it and not what we're putting into it. And I think we came through those years healthier. One thing Whitney and I have never worried about is, like, our marriage going cold. Because, like, we love to get to duke it out. Mm-hmm. Like, we love, like, we're not a, everybody was like, just, everybody just got really nervous. I wasn't thinking about how I was phrasing that there for a second. We love to just, yeah, I mean, he's like, easy big fella. That's embarrassing. You're nervous too. We'll have it. Like, we'll fight. We're not afraid to fight. And so we had some knockdown drag. You know what I mean? Like, we had some good fights in those days. I mean, we would have at it. One time we were in idyllic downtown Fairhope, Alabama. And Whitney just got out of the car.
I'd do it again.
I mean, driving.
Tonight. I'd get out tonight.
We're driving down the street and like pull up to a stop sign, a red light or something, and then she just gets out. I'm sitting there like an idiot. Yeah, with my brood in the back, and she's just gone. And I'm like, what are you doing, you know? So I'm like riding through Fairhope like, real mature, you know? Like, we've had some killer fights in a parsonage. I mean, there is no fight like a parsonage fight.
There's also nothing like having to go to Lowe's and buy a kit to patch up the wall.
Yeah, wall patching kit.
Or we punch the wall.
Yeah, I punched the wall. So I went in the spare bedroom, like, what do you do? Call the deacon and say, hey, I need you to come repair the parsonage.
Yeah.
Punched a hole in the wall. So I go in the other room, like, punch a hole in the wall, which is like real
mature.
And so punch a hole in the wall, and I'm like immediately like repentant. Like, it just takes all the fun out of being mad. I'm like miserable, like, what have I done? And then, of course, as soon as it happens, Whitney walks in, she's like, really? Really? Did you think, you know? And I'm like, I'm like dead to right. Anyway, I mean, in that very parsonage, that very same parsonage, one time, Whitney threw a full pound of frozen hamburger meat at my head. And so, I mean, I saw that to say, we never worry about that. We're not afraid to fight, figure some stuff out. But we've come back out on the other end of it. We're not saying all that to encourage the behavior. Just maybe if anybody else has had some like serious fights, you're like, okay, we're better than we think we are. And some of you might be like, you know what? We need a new church. These people are psychos. I don't know. long story short, this is, as we've come through all those things, and I feel like we're at a much healthier place now. And never were, like, totally unhealthy or fighting every day or anything like that, but just went through seasons that were harder. Looking back on it, it has deeply shaped the way we think about marriage and the way I think about teaching about marriage and counseling for marriage and everything else. Because what I've pretty much come to the conclusion on is that none of the big issues that everybody wants to say are the big issues in marriage are actually the issues. Right? Because We fought about money, we fought about the kids, we fought about all, and guess what? We're pretty much totally in line on all that stuff. Like, we have almost identical financial philosophies depending on the day, depending on who wants something like that. You know what I mean? We're big savers until they take a check, you know what I mean? Like, no, you took a check. And then, you know, we're like on board on money. We have the same philosophy of raising children. I mean, essentially, like, I don't feel like we had any major differences. We very much feel the same way about stuff. And we fought about those things some, but usually we would fight over stuff that we literally couldn't remember.
Like the hole in the wall and the hammer meat.
I have no clue.
No idea what we're talking about.
What about money? We didn't have enough to fight
about. I don't know why I got out of the car, but I'd do it again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we weren't fighting over money. I mean, you just flip the quarter to the other person if they want it, you know, like, it doesn't matter. I'd say all that to say, at the end of the day, we're going to talk about this as time goes on, but at the end of the day, we're going to deal with some of the big issues, okay? So it is important to line up on those things, and there's some good wisdom to govern those things. But, again, if you're like, we just don't agree with on money or whatever, I'm like, just go read a Dave Ramsey book or something. I'm not a money expert. Go find somebody that is, and if you're like, this seems wise, do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would do. That's what we've done, you know? It's like, just find good resources and try to figure our money out. If you have one spouse that wants to be wise with money, one spouse that doesn't, that's not a money issue. That's a heart issue.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a problem in here. That's a selfishness problem. And so if you have one family member that refuses to discipline children and one that's too harsh with children, those are not like, man, if we could just find the perfect way to discipline. If Jesus gave you the perfect way to discipline, you would still fight because you want to get your way. I know it, you know it, we all know it. It's what everybody wants is to get their way. You don't have to teach kids to want to get their way. You know what I mean? No. You don't have to. You don't have to teach us. We don't have to teach ourselves that. So I still have to say, our philosophy of marriage is that I feel like a lot of approaches to life in general, but especially marriage, is focused on what I call sin management, which I really hate sin management. Sin can't be managed, by the way. And what people want to do is they want to just try to manage the sin instead of putting it to death. And so my favorite illustration of this is one time when I was a kid watching the cartoons, and it was a Mickey Mouse cartoon. And they were at a dam, and it was springing a leak. And so Goofy was going to try to plug up the dam. And so he put his finger in the dam, you know. And then, has anybody seen this cartoon before or some version of it? Then another one springs, you know, and then he puts another finger in. And he puts a toe in, and then by the end of the little cartoon, he's got 10 fingers and 10 toes stuck in the dam, and the water squirting him in his face. I say, that's sin management, right? At the end of the day, you don't have enough fingers and toes to plug it all up. And eventually, it's going to be a mess. So part of what we're going to be trying to do in this class is just practical wisdom for marriage, what God's word has to say about wisdom. But I do want to make sure everybody knows, before you get too deep into this thing, our approach to this is that, you know, we want to help people think through how to deal with what's going on in here.
Okay.
And that makes what's going on here a lot better.
Yeah, marriage is hard because it's meant to sanctify us, and sanctification is hard. And so a lot of marriages fail because, like, even Christian marriages fail because people don't want to work on their sanctification. And they care more about self-service than they care about the other. And so sanctification, heart issues, like all problems in marriage can boil down to like a heart issue, like Matt said. And so trying to find, like, if you're struggling